Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Carlene Montez de Oca as my guest today. Carlene is an author, speaker, acupuncturist, and plant-based nutritional consultant. She is also the founder of the Animal-Human Health Connection, which focuses on bringing awareness to the many ways that animals enhance human health, happiness, and longevity. Join us for a conversation about her book that's due out soon. It's Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. Welcome, Carlene.
Thank you so much, Margo. I really appreciate being on your show today, and I'm also looking forward to having our conversation together.
Oh, thank you so much for being on my show, and I have to say thank you so much for writing your book. I got the advanced reader copy that you gave me, and I was looking at it for a long time, looking at it going, dog is my doctor, cat is my nurse, liking the pictures, liking the subtitle, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. And then, you know, it was a little over a week ago before I was going to be preparing for having you on the show, and I thought, well, I better start reading this book. And I was feeling kind of down the day that I started to read it, and I started reading it, and I started going, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. And I ended up reading the whole book. and I love it. And I think that, you know, people are going to really love this book. And when does it come out? It's actually, what's the official date that it comes out to for everybody else to buy?
Right. The official date of publication is April 18th. Though currently, I'm actually going to be having like an Amazon launch day on March 6th, where, you know, if people buy the book as a pre-order, you get all these different bonuses and stuff like that. But April 18th is when it's going to be in bookstores. And I want to just really thank you for saying that about the book. You know, it's quite a labor of love to write, and to hear somebody appreciating it in that way is really beautiful music to me.
Oh, thank you so much, though, for writing it, because, you know, I've always loved animals so much, and they are such great teachers in our lives, and they just do add so much joy to life. And I also have to say that I love the little illustrations that you have in there. Whoever did the illustrations did such an amazing job of making it playful and fun. And, oh, God, you know, I just can't say enough about this book, and I know it sounds almost like I'm making it up, but I really am that excited about it. And it came to me at a time when, I mean, most of the time I'm feeling up. People mm-hmm. actually ask Dudley a lot of times, is she always like that? And I am a lot. I mean, but it's kind of like I do have my moments where I get down or frustrated or feeling sad or depressed. But it doesn't last very long usually. But the day, like I said, the day that I started to read it, I just, you know, really needed it, and it came at a perfect time. And our cat, Bender, who I just adore, was actually snuggled up on the side, on my side, of on the sofa while I was reading it at the beginning. And that was just so wonderful to be reading what you had to say. And then to
I would have loved to have had a picture of that. Of seeing you two together reading that book.
I know. Unfortunately, Dudley didn't take a picture of it because he wasn't in the room. But, yeah, that would have been great. And, you know, maybe later if I can, I'll get a picture of the two of us together with your book. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I have a lot of questions that I would like to ask so that you can tell our readers, our listeners, about your book. And I'd like you to start out with sharing a little bit of your personal story and how it helped how it helped inspire you to help others.
Sure. In regards to animals, I don't know about you, but I was born loving animals. I feel like I have loved and had a connection to animals my whole life. And in particular, when I was younger, I felt there were certain reasons I felt kind of lonely, and my dogs were my best friends growing up. And then when I got a little bit older, I found myself really wanting to help in some way, and I started doing some volunteer work at a shelter. The thing was, there were like 70 animals, 70 dogs that needed to get walked all the time. And when I first got there, a friend of mine who brought me, we decided we're going to walk all the dogs in the shelter, every single one of them, and we're not going to stop till we walk everybody. Well, it was like 9 o'clock at night, and we had started at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were exhausted and we weren't done. So the next day we came back to the shelter and we finished walking them. And a friend of mine said to me, you know, Carlene, there's got to be more that you can do to help animals than to just walk them every day, you know, that, and you're never going to be able to do this again, you know, to walk all these animals. So the same guy told me later on when I decided I was going to, because I used to work in the film business when, and I decided to make a career change and become an acupuncturist. He said, well, you know, it'll be good for you and you'll have a lot more to write about then. And so I think that just like any journey you take and you stop for directions along the way, there's many, many different points, but those are some of the ones that stand out to me. And, you know, it took me a while to kind of realize that there was such a deep connection between human health and our animals inspiring us to be healthy. But those are a couple of the spots along the way that kind of propelled me on that journey.
Well, you know, it's a good example, really, of listening to your heart and how that is where your music is, you know, the things that you feel called to do, and to start listening to the clues of what gives you excitement, what gives you joy, what, you know, that sort of thing. And so I think that's really, really cool that you did that. And I would really hope that our listeners will start listening and start thinking about how they can do that too, you know, in their own lives, is to start listening to what gives them joy and how they want to help. And that brings me to, how can we find health and happiness by having an animal companion in our house?
Right. I would say that the number one thing you can do is to, and it's easy, everybody can do it, come aware, to start just opening up your eyes to the fact that the dog that's maybe laying in the dog bed next to you, or, you know, the cat that's sitting on the bed watching you right now, is so much more than a pet. If we use that word or we think about our animals in that way, we sort of limit them and limit the possibility of what our relationship can be. That's why I very much like this idea of guardianship, is thinking more of yourself as a guardian, because it sort of expands your relationship with your animal friend. We can start becoming aware, like, they have so much more to offer us. And what we've started to see now is, you know, science is now putting its stamp of approval on that dogs and cats and other animals do indeed help our lives, our healthy lifestyle. So if we can begin to just put our mindset, you know, it's almost like you don't have to do anything else, but just start to become aware. They can help us. They can help us throughout the day, just in terms of preventative things like stress relief and getting out for more exercise. And if you watch your cat, you know, how many times do you see your cat stretching in those amazing, like arching the back and stretching the spine? And, you know, in that moment, you can go, hey, I need to do some of that. That is so excellent for my ligaments, my tendons, my muscles. And then to also know that, you know, our health isn't just about physical health. It's the state of our emotional well-being and our mental well-being. And it goes on beyond that, you know. So there's many levels of it, but I think awareness is the first step.
Awareness always is the first step. And I wanted to just point out, though, that I love, really love how you talk about in the book, and you're talking about just then, about being the animal's guardian versus having being their owner. And, you know, that is such a, I just love that, because, you know, I've never liked thinking of them as being something that you own. And to me, it's always been just such a joy to have Bender in our home and the other animals. And earlier, before we had him, we had birds for a long time, too. We had a little parakeet named Feather. She was our first, well, we were guardians of this beautiful little blue bird for 8 years. And she just was such a love. And anyway, so it's not just dogs and cats that can do it, but it's I think, like you said, the awareness of what a gift they are in your life. And when you were saying that about the cat stretching, that I always think of Bender when it comes to yoga too, because you're right, he likes to do yoga. And I mean, and he's like doing yoga, how the way he moves his body. It's just, it's a good reminder.
And is that why you call him Bender?
No,
like
the
bending?
Reason. Actually, it is a really good name for him because he does bend. But no, our son Xander named him Bender because of the robot in the animated show called Futurama. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But
no.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's a crazy show. It's the futuristic Simpsons type show, animated show that he loved when he was growing up. And when his girlfriend found Bender when he was just a little tiny kitten, and she brought him over to Xander's place while they were in college, and they just fell in love with him, and they wanted to keep him forever, and he named him Bender after the robot. And then what happened, though, is that we ended up taking Bender home with us at Christmas in 2010 because, you know, being in a house that was a rental while they were in college, the landlord said, no, you can't keep him. And so we said we wanted to adopt him. So, you know, he was not a rescue from a rescue place, but he was rescued. So, yeah, and
well,
he's brought so much joy into our lives.
Well, and isn't that the interesting part of it? I always think of that as soon as we say rescue, because you know that they rescue you back. They will always rescue you back in some way. You know, they're just so full of love and so many just beneficial, just amazing qualities that they have, that it's always a mutual rescue.
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, when I think back on it, we had never had a cat. I had never had a cat in the house before. I had a cat, outdoor cat, when I was growing up. But I had no idea how much mischief they could get into. But I'll tell you what, it's just, he's given so much love and joy to us, and he still does every single day.
Mm.
He is just, you know, he is just awesome. And anyway, back to your book. How would you describe your book, Dog is My Doctor, Cat is My Nurse, and how can it prove helpful?
I think it's the subtitle of the book, which is An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life, pretty much sums it up, and this is why. I'm an acupuncturist, so I'm a practitioner of Chinese medicine, and with Chinese medicine, it's all about mind, body, spirit. We don't see any difference in the physical well-being of someone versus their emotional, mental well-being, or even, you know, their well-being on a spirit level. You know, we see it as that's total health to us, and it makes total sense because, right, we're not just these individual anatomical parts. You know, you're not just, you know, if, you know, this is, for example, if you came in to see an acupuncturist and you have something wrong with your elbow, let's say, we treat the elbow, but we're also looking at the whole body. We're looking at digestion. We're looking at lifestyle patterns. We're looking at other things because we see it as an integrated, complete body. In this book, what I've tried to do is, even though there's a lot of science out there saying, oh, you know, animals are, you know, can help us with our blood pressure, our cholesterol, our hormones, I mean, so many amazing physical benefits, and then they can also help us with, you know, being happier, a little, you know, less stress. I started to realize, wait a minute, that actually, if you look at this whole picture, they're benefiting complete body, whole body wellness, mind, body, and spirit, the whole package. I mean, gosh, if somebody could give you a pill for that, I mean, how much money would you pay for that? That's incredible. and here they are. And what's the side effect? You know, it's this terrible side effect, happiness, right? On top of that,
yeah.
The side effect is, you know, joy and happiness and love, unconditional love and unconditional positive regard, so many things. So I thought, oh, my God, this is incredible. And I think... what the bottom line is that this book is about whole body wellness and how our animals can help enhance that and give us that free of charge.
I love that. I love what you just said and how you said it. And I also, I love that when I was reading the advanced copy, is that I loved that you talked about mind, body, and spirit, all three. And, you know, it's so important because, you know, so many people get focused on just one area of trying to get healthy, either physically or mentally, or you know, spiritually, and they all work together. And
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And I totally, believe that.
Yeah, and I think that the older that we're getting, not that, you know, I don't know, that's different for everyone, but hopefully we start to become more and more aware of this, because that's such an important part of aging gracefully and aging well and enjoying life into your older years, is to really try to have that whole, all of it in place. And it's never perfect, but it's a journey. But gosh, who better than to have it with you than these guys who just adore you? There's nothing you can do wrong, right? They're just there for you.
I know. Oh my gosh. So true. You know, and I just wanted to say that, you know, right now people are listening to you talking about how you're living your music. And so I think it's a really good time, before I ask you more questions about the book, to ask the questions I like to ask for the listeners to think about. So everyone out there listening, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And Carlene, you know, I think that's one of the things that the animals do, don't you think, is that they help you remember to enjoy each day and to be in your present moments.
It's funny, when I think of animals, I often think of angels. You know, I don't know what anybody else believes in that, but I always think of a movie I saw, and I don't know if you saw this, but it was a long time ago. It was called Wings of Desire, and then they made an American version of that called City of Angels. And it was, do you remember that?
I've never seen it. It sounds like something I'd like to see, though.
Yeah, they made one was a German movie, and then the American movie was taken from that with Meg Ryan. But the idea being that you see this whole, like, you know, you see regular people walking through their everyday, but then you suddenly see all these people in these black coats, and you're like, who are all these people mixed in within the black coats? And you suddenly realize there are these angels, and as people, the people don't see them. But as you're going through your daily life, these angels are just whispering a little message to you on the way, that suddenly you get an idea and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? That's a great idea. Or you get an inspiration or something. And I kind of feel like animals are that kind of presence. It's like they're not necessarily like insisting, you know, on certain things. I mean, sometimes they do, but it's more of a quiet kind of a nudge, or just kind of their presence, or just a purr. Or just this very, it's non-judgmental. It's not like, and I think this is why we get along with them, and we hear them in a way, and our hearts are touched by them in a way, because it's just very gentle, and it's always a very gentle kind of prod. And I think in some ways there are angels walking around on Earth.
I totally believe that there are both the people kind and animal kind. And you're right. Mm-hmm. It's so funny that you should say that, because I think of Bender a lot of times as my little furry gray angel. And yeah, and also my fur baby. He's my fur baby.
Yes.
You know, he's definitely not a pet, even though I like to pet him.
Yeah, well, and that's good.
Yeah, he's an angel. So let's see, back to your book. Why is chronic illness so prevalent, and how can pets help us battle this epidemic?
I think there could be several answers, but one of the things that I think of, well, the one reason I think that it's so prevalent is lifestyle. I mean, we see that the top chronic diseases that people will that we get affected by, let's say heart disease, diabetes, cancers, a lot of them are related to lifestyle. We know that nutrition plays a big role. We know that exercise or the lack of it plays a big role. Other lifestyle habits like not getting enough sleep, you know, too much stress. But, you know, all of these things play huge factors in whether we're going to live, you know, we're going to be able to get through that, or, you know, come down with a disease or not. So this is why I think that animals can be so helpful for us, because when you start to bring up that awareness and start to become aware that there's so much more that they can offer us, you may start feeling that nudge, that dog nudge you on the knee going, hey, come on, it's time for a walk, let's go. And you'll start picking up on those cues regularly and go, okay, it's time for a walk. And not only that, but maybe the cue is, let's go play. You know, how many adults do you know play? I think people forget to play, and it's so beneficial for your well-being, for your heart, for your attitude, for just the way you look at life. You know, how many of us right now, another big one is sleep. We're not sleeping. You know, we are staying up way too late, and you've read my book. You know I'm to blame on that one. You know, I do my best on that one, too. But I
we
also
all have our moments
to,
with the, that
right?
one. Right?
Yeah. We have our moments. But a cat nap is a good thing, and I do. I am very good at cat naps. But in the evening, just turning things down, you know, our dogs are asleep, our cats are in bed. It's like time for you to go to bed, too. You know, it's, if you read, you know, when you read the book, you'll see there's just so many ways that they, if you took one of them and added it into your life, I think it could be so beneficial. And you'd start the relationship that way and start to, and I want to say one thing about all of this, and it's funny, Scientific American, I think, was the one who came out with this, that some of these benefits aren't necessarily with, yes, you can have benefits with dogs you don't know or cats you don't know, but the stronger your relationship is with your animal, the more the benefits. So it's important for us to nurture these relationships.
You know, that is such an important point, and it's funny because we have one child, Xander, and he's 27 now, and it's sort of the difference between having visiting someone's child and having your own child.
Yes.
You know, and
that's right.
To me, Bender, having him living with us, he's our fur baby, like I said. And so you're right. I mean, it's a whole different relationship than it is if you just go visit them. And I love seeing other people's animals. But you're right. I mean, it's having the relationship with them that that makes it so incredibly amazing. And speaking of that, it reminds me of the fact that in your book, I love that there's so many stories of you and your animals, but also of other people and their animals. And so it was almost like reading a Chicken Soup for the Animal Soul type book, interspersed in with all the rest of the things that you've written in the book. And so, you know, I just, each story I was going, oh, I want to hear what happened with this animal and this person. And, you know, and then also, I was really surprised when I read the one about Bob and Juno, and I was going, wait a minute, that sounds like Bob, Mary, and wait a minute, they have a gray cat. And I'm realizing that, yeah, that was them. And so our friends Bob and Mary were in the book. And, you know, it's fun reading the different stories. I know I'm going to definitely be referring to this book a lot and looking back in it and rereading stories through it and just letting them remind me how much joy and health we can get by as you said, being guardians for our fur babies.
That is one thing that's interesting about the stories, because that's one of the most enjoyable parts of writing this book. When I started to hear people's stories, it was one thing to hear them. And then when I started to actually physically transcribe them, I started to see the love and the gems of wisdom that were coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And now what's very interesting is I tell this to my husband. It happens all the time. I'll go on a trip or I'll get into a conversation with someone who's an animal lover. They find out I'm writing a book. I need to say no more. They jump in. Oh, I have a story about, and they tell me the story about how their animal has helped them through some kind of physical or issue or emotional issue or how much love they bring into their life or whatever it is. And then they'll say this, I know you think I'm crazy for telling you this. Are you kidding? I wrote a book about that. But I think we all have stories.
Yeah. So do you think maybe you'll write a second book to have more of the stories or not?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think there, it's unbelievable how many, well, a lot of stories I couldn't write because I just didn't have any more room. And I also, as you said earlier, it's not limited to our dogs and cats. The first time around, I was going to write about more animals. I was going to, any animal, horses, you know, whatever it is, but it became too huge. So there's, I think, God, you know, there's so many, I think an animal for me is an animal, you know, and you can have a loving relationship with, you know, a pot-bellied pig, you know, a goat, you know, whatever, whoever that's going to be in your life, you know, you can develop this relationship and get the healing benefits out of it. So yes, there will be more books for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. When you said that, though, about the different animals, I had a Shetland pony, well, Shetland Welsh pony named Fury when I was growing up.
And oh, beautiful.
He was so beautiful. Dapple gray with white mane and tail and a little streak on his forehead. And he was my buddy. I used to ride him around with even, well, with a saddle, but mostly bareback. And I could ride him even without having the bridle on and, you know, turn him and he was so much fun. And then I had a horse after that named Cossack, K-O-S-A-K, that had been abused by some people. And we traded a couple of ponies for him. And my dad helped me to train Cossack. And he was half American saddlebred, half thoroughbred, and so big. And, oh, my gosh. he was another, I call them kindred spirits also. You know, kindred spirits.
Yes.
That come into your life that just bring so much joy into your life. And, oh, my gosh, we got 3.5 minutes left. I can't believe how fast this has gone. I'm going to definitely have to have you back on, not just have a second book, but I'm going to have you back on so that we can even talk about more of this. But so since we only have a little bit of time left, what is the greatest piece of advice that a dog doctor or a cat nurse can offer their human guardian? What do you think?
Well, to me, that changes every day depending on what mood I'm in or what may be going on in my world. But I think that I think ultimately it does come down to staying present and maybe being actually more than that. It begins with staying present, but being true to yourself. I mean, you never see, like, you know, you'll never see a cat wanting to be a poodle or, you know, a dog wanting to be something else, right? They are who they are, and they love to be who they are, and they enjoy life. You know, right now I have a dog who, unfortunately, I've just been in the emergency room with for the last 2 days, and I got really concerned. She's 15, that, oh, wow, is this going to be it? Is this it? And I'm watching her. Just during this time, she is who she is. She's not anxious. She's not worried. She's going through what she's going through, and she's totally loving me, and I'm loving her. So I think that to just be true to yourself, be who you are, and be present, I think is a pretty darn good thing that they can offer us.
Oh, that is so true and so important. And you also have some events coming up. You're going to be at Book Passage here in Marin on, what is it, the...
On May 6th.
Yeah, 1 p.m. At Book Passage in Corte Madera, and I'm planning to be there, and so is Dudley.
Yay,
and
that's
some
so
other
great.
Friends are planning to come. And then you've also got one on May 13th at 2 p.m. at Books, Inc. in San Francisco, and then there's other ones that they can find out about on your website also, animalhumanhealth.com, right?
Yes, and /events if they go to the events page. We are also adding 2 more events because this is the Positivity Tour, PAWS Positivity Tour. So I'm teaming up with different rescues along the way and donating, you know, the proceeds to each event. 50% of my proceeds are going to the rescue. So there's going to be, you know, dog ambassadors at these events. It's going to be fantastic. So I hope people can really come and support their favorite animal rescues.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, we've only got less than a minute left, so I just wanted to say thank you so much for writing your book. Thank you for being on my show, and thank you for being just who you are. I just am so thankful.
Thank you
for being willing to live your music.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to voice what my music is, because, you know, you're giving us the platform to be able to do that, and that's a really big gift.
Oh, well, everyone out there listening, if you love animals, you've got to get this book. You're going to love it.
Thank
Arlene,
you.
Thank you so much, Margo. Thank you. You're welcome. And thank you. Thank you. Bye for now, everyone. I will be back soon, and I wish you a wonderful week. Bye.